Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. My guests tonight are Stars Will Fall. They're a new project that's hit the ground running. Let's get to know them. I have Stars Will Fall here with me today. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Great.
You guys are kind of new, so we need to know more about you. Can y'all each take turns and tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll go on from there. Jason, you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Jason Perez. I'm the guitar player and mixing engineer for Stars Will Fall. I've been playing guitar for close to 30 years, I think, now. And God's led me to want to do this for ministry purposes, and that's why we formed this band.
My name is Dale Burns, and I am the lead vocalist for Stars Will Fall. I also do some of the backing tracks of different instruments and some harmonies as well. And I've been singing my entire adult life, but God really got a hold of me to give me a purpose to use my voice for his purpose, his worship, and met these guys, and the rest is history.
Okay. And?
I'm Austin. I play the drums, and I do some background vocals, some harmonies and things like that. I've been playing drums for close to 18 years. Yeah, Jason and I had a band beforehand, and it was a similar goal and message, you know, to praise him through music that we all enjoy to play and write. So Jason and I weren't done with what we were doing, and we wanted to continue on, and we found Dale.
Have all three of you been in some sort of a band before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how did you find each other, and how did this project get started?
To kick the story off, I guess it's where Jason and I met. My cousin and I actually started we're trying to start a band, and then whenever we found Jason, we kind of decided to form Lap 7 Breakthrough. And then late 2022, we kind of just fell apart. And like I said, Jason and I weren't done with continuing to praise him through music and spreading his word. So,
yeah. So then we started posting stuff online and things like that. And I believe Dale, I believe your wife actually saw the ad on one of the, Facebook, forums that we were on. And, reached out to you, and then you reached out to us, and we kind of had an audition a couple times, and the rest is kind of history, I think, right there.
What kind of proximity are you to each other?
I'm about 20 minutes from Jason in Stark County, Ohio, and Austin's a little bit further out, but we will practice at his place sometimes to make it fair.
Yeah, my commute's a little farther. It's probably double Dale's. So we go back and forth depending on what we're doing. We do most of the recording at Jason's house, and we do practice and rehearsals for our upcoming shows at my house. So
you're all in Ohio?
Yep.
Okay. Where did your band name come from?
Our band name is biblical. So Stars Will Fall is actually an excerpt from the book of Matthew, where Jesus talks about the end of days, where he says the sun will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky. And he's talking about his return, his second coming. On top of being a really cool and edgy sounding band name, you know, it means that we know what the future holds and who wins and who we're fighting for.
What kind of genre is Stars Will Fall?
We are a modern rock sounding band. We have energetic to heavier music. We do plan to have some variety as far as dynamics, you know, maybe a ballad or two somewhere along the line. But for right now, it's just been really high energy and really epic sounding stuff.
Who are your influences?
It's kind of spread out amongst the three of us. We all kind of came up during different times, and we were interested in different forms of rock. I was a little more into like the emo and the harder screamo kind of stuff in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And Jason was more into like the 90s grunge and some of the 80s classic rock stuff. And And Dale, I think he was in the early 2000s, late 90s kind of rock scene.
Somewhere in between there, some Christian rock. You know, I grew up on DC Talk, Newsboys, Audio Adrenaline, Skillet. So those were kind of the staples. But a lot of the other bands and got into secular music for a while too. My previous band was actually a secular band, but we made it work, and I still tried to put lyrics that meant something to me and that, you know, had a good message too.
And based on Dale's voice and tone where he's at, we're kind of hovering around the Demon Hunter Seventh Day Slumber range in terms of tone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I try and mimic a lot of, you know, heavier stuff like Seventh Day Slumber and Red and Demon Hunter and things like that. Kind of going similar in style to that, I think. It ultimately does end up sounding kind of 90s grunge rock a little bit. We are, you know, using, you know, a baritone 7-string guitar. So it does have that real heavy guitar sound to it.
Nice. Who's doing the scream vocals?
That's Dave.
Yep.
It's a nice scream.
Thank you.
Yeah, he just pops it in there halfway through a song. There it is.
Yeah, the band I was in before, which was like 12 years ago. I since then got married, became a father of two. But that scream just, it never wears my voice out. It's just always been there. It's something that just natural to me. Use it when I can, you know.
Well, you must be doing it right. A lot of people don't scream properly. If you scream properly, it should not hurt. Your first song is Anxiety. How did that come about?
When I first joined the band, we're like, okay, we were still Lap 7 Breakthrough technically, and I was just kind of like a fill-in. I was trying to learn all these songs that were sang by a female vocalist, and that was fun. But we knew that we wanted to write more original songs with the three of us and see kind of what happened. And I went into this concepts folder on a Google Share Drive, and Jason and Austin and everybody else had all these ideas that were just like riffs or like 10 seconds here, 20 seconds there, just ideas. And I the first one I listened to, I pulled out into Audacity and just started singing something to it. I think I was playing video games at the time at my computer, and I just started like humming and singing along to it. And then I put the video game down because I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting. And then I started messing with the harmonies for it. And that is now the song Anxiety, which just kind of fell into place when we wrote it. And that's one thing I love about being in this band with these guys, is that everything has been just really easy, really laid back. Everything comes together really well. It's like it was planned that way or something.
Who does what when it comes to writing and stuff?
It all kind of stems from, like Dale said, that concepts folder. I mean, we started that in Lap 7 Breakthrough, but we knew that the sound with Anxiety, as Dale was writing, it was so different that we couldn't stick with the same Lap 7 Breakthrough name. So we started Stars Will Fall as a new band, as, you know, the three of us, not just a remnant of an old band. But yeah, so we just throw ideas anytime we have something. Jason will, you know, think of something in his head and lay a riff down on his phone, you know, just throw that onto the table and play guitar to it. Or Dale will have an awesome idea for like a keys part, and he'll play it on whatever Audacity that he's using on his phone or whatever. And sometimes I'll lay down a drum part or a harmony or something in my head. Everything ends up in that Google Drive folder for us to kind of pass back and forth and see what really clicks and stirs up some brain power from whomever. And then that'll kind of just gear up for whatever we're writing.
Yeah. And then after, you know, we get like a bass recording down, you know, we're like, all right, that sounds pretty good. You know, we'll play it and jam together. And then we're like, hey, what if we did this? Or Austin will say, hey, what about this part? What if we extended this or added a bridge right here or something like that? And then we'll have to try and, somebody will hum something and I'll say kind of like this, and I'll play something. And then we just kind of try and piece it all together as a group until we like it. And then that's when we start recording it.
How do you put it all together? Has somebody got a studio?
So we all have the same recording software, Studio One. And so we can easily pass files back and forth. But yeah, ultimately, the files will come to me if it's recorded at their house, or we try and do it all over here at my house. Austin's got a drum set over here all set up for recording. I've got a condenser microphone here, but Dale comes and records his vocals on, you know, with the foam surround around it and everything like that. So yeah, most of it's done over here, and then we just start mixing it, and then I'll get a rough mix down and share it with the guys, and they'll kind of give their feedback or see if there's parts of the song that we don't really like after we hear that it's recorded, and we'll just kind of go from there until it's sounding the way that we want it to. I put it into the mastering after that to get the levels where they need to be and EQs and stuff like that, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, Jason is so fast at it. I think that's why the songs turn out so well, is because we're not afraid to change it. You know, Back in the day, it was a tape or whatever, punch in recording studio, and it's like painful to have to pivot on anything, but we can change, delete, add whatever we want whenever, basically, because these guys are so good at with that stuff.
Gone are the days of cut and splice.
Yeah, I started, you know, 20 some years ago, recording on a tape four track, a little Tascam, and then you'd have to, after you committed to those four tracks and you wanted to save space, you had to bounce it all to a single track so you could free up three more tracks so you could keep recording, and you had to get the mix just right, and what a pain it was, you know. And nowadays, you know, I think Promise has had about 75 different tracks going on, and they may have just been little snippets, you know, of like 10 seconds or something long, or something like that. You can add as much as you want, as long as your computer can handle it. It's great.
So you have the two songs that are completed. How many have you got in the works?
About four.
Yeah, I think we got four that we're currently working on. Yeah, so we got one that's actually been recorded, and we're just adding the finishing touches to it, you know, the additional harmony parts and things like that. So that one's almost done. And then we've got three more in the works. And then I think we got one or two covers we're working on.
They're worship songs. Yeah. We're looking at doing a heavier version of a worship song.
Your latest news involves a label. How did that happen?
Yeah, so we released our songs, and Aaron Hobbs, contacted us via email saying, hey, I really dig your sound. I wanted to talk to you about getting on this label I created. So I reached out to these guys and talked it over and set up a call with them. And, that was pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked a couple times just back and forth, just make sure it was the right thing for us, a good fit, being as we're such a new band. We don't really have much traction to begin with, so we didn't know really how we were going to fair on that, especially with all of us having full-time jobs and families at home. But I mean, so far it's been a really, really good fit. He's been working really well with us and the other artists on the label with Resurrection Records. It's just been really good so far.
Yeah.
Have there been any big changes now that you've signed with Resurrection?
I would say things are a little more fast-paced. It feels like every time I turn around, something new is happening. Either, you know, we got an offer to do this show, or you know, we got another interview, or whatever it may be. I mean, it just seems like things are happening quicker. I mean, There's still some things that are a little slow. We're actively looking for a bass player, and that's going a little slow, but that's to be expected from this area, I guess. It's not really a huge music scene, let alone a Christian rock scene, so...
Will this change your trajectory at all?
We're going to have to dress like we know each other.
Yeah.
Because so far at shows, it's been a hodgepodge of like, oh, he's wearing cargo shorts and I'm wearing jeans and he's wearing this or that. So it's going to be fun to actually figure out, you know, what we're going to do on stage during our shows and just try and put a little more polish to go with the sound.
It's a good idea.
I think without the record label, I would say it was going to be a very, very slow roll into what we hope to be, I guess, where we end up. I mean, the ultimate goal, you know, it's not about money, and this music is secondary. The ultimate goal is to be able to sermon to as many people as possible and to be able to spread the word as far as possible. If somebody in another country even likes our sound, that's someone else we've reached. And be able to, you know, glorify God through music that we like and hopefully others like as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. And I think this will have a more of an outreach going through Resurrection Records. And I think it'll probably be that outreach faster.
Yeah.
So what's coming up for you guys? Have you got any summer festivals?
Yeah, so we got a show in Oroville, Ohio. It's a Christian festival. It's in late July. It's outdoors, so we're hoping it doesn't rain on us again this year. We've had two outdoor shows already, and it rains both times that we played. So we're hoping this one will be nice and sunny and enjoyable for everybody. But yeah, so that one will be in July, July 20th.
Okay.
Don't know what the times are. I know it's going to be in the afternoon in Oroville, Ohio, at the park. And then we have another show. We're playing the Broken Bottle Fest, September 27th.
Nice.
So, on that Friday.
I attended the very first Broken Bottle Festival this last year.
Yeah.
Nice.
Y'all are going to have a great time.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
For sure.
Nice. Would anybody like to share their faith journey?
Dale, you want to take this one?
Yeah, sure. I grew up with a very strong Christian mother. My dad ended up becoming a believer through her, and he had issues with drugs and alcohol, and he has been sober since I was born, actually. So however old I am, that's how long he's been sober. And he's just been a really strong testament of what faith can do and what following Jesus can do, not just to get to heaven, but people need Jesus here on earth. You know, we need Jesus to get through every single day. And I think that's something that I carry with me, even going into this, you know, as I go to church or go out with my family or hang out with my kids, it's that I want to always be taking Jesus with me in every situation. And to anyone who will listen, as far as I can, peacefully. Yeah, but we have told, you know, the record label that we would be willing to go into, you know, not just church shows, but, you know, festivals, other types of concert places that might not be fully Christian, and, you know, share our music and share a bit of our lives with those people, kind of like what Jesus did. The doctor didn't come to the healthy, he went to the sick. And we want to introduce the doctor to as many people as we can.
I was raised, you know, in a Methodist church, and when I was a kid, you know, always had faith in Jesus, but he didn't really run my life like he should, like he does now. So over the years, you know, I just grew stronger and stronger in faith of Jesus and put him first in my life. About, I want to say it was probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was traveling a lot for my job overseas and many other countries. And I was in Indonesia, and Indonesia is very much a Muslim country. And I really didn't feel all that safe there being a Christian. And one evening, the guys that I was working with, there was about five of them. We were out to dinner, and we got to talking about the United States and how things were over here compared to there. And one topic came up was, hey, what's the religion, main religions over in the United States? Because it's Muslim here, and we're Muslim. And I said, well, the primary, I think, is Christianity in the United States, and then everything else after that. And I said, I'm a Christian as well. And I was kind of expecting them to give me some pushback on that. I was kind of looking at their eyes, and you can kind of tell that they weren't, you know, very pleased about my answer. And I remember saying to myself in my head, you know, if they pursue this anymore and things like that, I'm not going to deny Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm going to let them know this. And if that leads to them harming me, then so be it. I was already ready in my mind. I was going to do that. And I think Jesus decided to step in it wasn't time for that, and they just backed off, and they never even asked. So for me, that was a big pivoting point in my faith with Jesus, as I knew what I had to do, and I knew what I was going to do no matter what. And so that was something for me, and it's been with me ever since. So
mine's a little bit of I guess darker. I mean, I never had really a strong faith background. I was raised in a very loose Christian family. There wasn't any kind of pressure to like go to church or, you know, pray or anything like that. But my grandparents were all very much Christians and outspoken about it. But in 2018, my wife and I, we had a son. He came at 20 or 21 weeks, and we were not ready for him. My wife developed preeclampsia, and we lost him 4 days after.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So that was – thank you. That was – really my defining point of, you know, that kind of hurt. You look for someone, whether it's solace or blame or to put anger in or something. And it's just, luckily I was with my cousin and Jason in Lap 7 Breakthrough, and, you know, they were able to really put it in perspective. I mean, what the overall plan is. And like I said, just looking for anything to put that blame or even just look for solace or help in, that was really pivotal for me. And I mean, I still struggle with it sometimes, you know, that pain never leaves. It's just one of those things where you kind of take it day by day and you kind of just look towards those who are closer and, you know, I can feel a presence, you know, I can feel them, and some days it's better than others, but some days I kind of just, look towards him and let him guide me.
Amen. Grief never goes away. It just changes.
Right. Exactly. God gave us a little girl and a little boy after that. So
that's awesome.
Best. And, you know, there's days where you just kind of look at them and you can't help but overcome with this grief and that almost a little bit of shame that you can't share these milestones and these moments with the one that we lost. But
yeah,
like I said, grief just changes.
Yeah.
I've been down a similar path with infertility and miscarriages. So I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I didn't know that story about you, Austin. I've had infertility and miscarriage issues as well. And our son is a miracle because they said we were never going to be able to do that either.
It's been surprising to me to find out how many people have also had the same struggle that we did.
Yeah.
Thank y'all for being vulnerable and sharing your stories. We're going to switch gears, and we want to find out what you do for your everyday job. And is what you do now what you set out to do?
I always liked computers and being on them and using them. So I actually ended up, I'm a software engineer for medical data. And that's been a pretty nice adventure. So that's what I do.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And I'm the one who knows the least about the recording software, by the way. So.
Yeah. So I got into electronics back in high school. A friend of mine got me interested in that. He went through the electronics program at our high school. So I decided to do that and got really into that and went to college for it. Got my electrical engineering degree. And I've been electrical engineer now since 2004, I think.
So, so there must be something in the air right now.
But yeah, it's you know, I work in with the tire industry, so that's always unique, to say the least. Always something different going on with that, but it keeps me busy for sure.
Yeah.
I'm a mechanical designer by trade. Currently, I'm doing more of the technological side of programming machines rather than designing parts and automated systems for machines to pump out. But I honestly wanted to be a mechanic growing up. My grandfather was a mechanic, and I'd always had an interest in cars and anything that had wheels and either steering wheel or handlebars. So that's what I wanted to do. And then my mom talked me into looking at this CAD class, and I was like, what's CAD? And then next thing I know, I'm really excelling at it and I'm really enjoying it. So I've had a little bit of both sides of it. I went mechanical for a while. I dabbled in some architectural. I worked for a on-your-lot home builder, designing houses for them. And then I went back to mechanical side, and now I'm programming. So
you mentioned wanting to be a mechanic.
Did you know that TJ Harris of Decipher Down is a mechanic?
His dad owns the shop.
Is he?
Yep. Whenever he's not on the road, he's under a car.
Wow. That's kind of funny that you mentioned Decipher Down, because that was one of the first bands my cousin presented to me whenever he said he wanted to do a Christian rock band. Because, like I said, before 2018, I wasn't very faithful and I didn't really listen to the music. So whenever he said, I want to start a Christian rock band, I was thinking, oh, man, you mean like that slow kind of that stuff? And he goes, no, like this stuff. And he plays me some Decipher Down, Relentless Flood. And I was like, oh, I can get on board with this.
There you go.
We all as a band got to go see Seventh Day Slumber. Well, it was about 9 months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
At a church right over here by my house, actually. And we ended up actually having a show about 2 months later at the same church. So that was really cool. We got to hang out and meet Joe Rojas and Blaze and
Magdalene Rose was there as well. Yeah.
Yeah, she was there. We got to meet her. So yeah, that was a good time. And that was really cool. That was right around the corner here from us.
Nice. So your desire to do music, where did that come from?
Mine started, I think it's in my blood. I mean, my grandfather and my grandmother are both very, very into music. My grandfather just passed away, and they said at his funeral that, or his memorial, that he could listen to a song and play it by ear within 24 hours if he wanted to. And I seem to have had that same ear whenever it comes to music. So, I mean, mine's kind of in my blood. And like I said, my cousin and I, we just shared a love of music and started playing together. And that's when we decided that we wanted to start a band and go from there.
For me, I actually started playing trumpet in fifth grade because my brother was playing it. So, you know, I decided to pick up the trumpet and I learned how to play that. I played that all through middle school and high school even. And then a few years after that, when I was became a teenager, I decided I wanted to learn to play the guitar because a couple of my friends were like, hey, wouldn't it be really cool if we could play some of this heavy metal that, you know, we were playing? I think it was Pantera or something like that at the time. And I was like, yeah, man, that sounds really cool. So I went out and bought a guitar and nobody else did. So I got into guitar lessons and learned to play. And yeah, I just kept on going with that. I was loving it. And I've been playing ever since.
Cool. Back to you, Dale.
Yeah, I have an older brother, and him and I, one year when I was about 15, I bought a bass and he bought a guitar, and we just started jamming together at anything and everything we could find. And my uncle ended up getting out of prison, and he was a drummer, and so we started a band. We found a vocalist that my brother worked with at Giant Eagle, and we had this Christian rock band. We were playing at bars when I was 15, you know. and then my brother and I formed another band after that, and I tried to get him into this one. He plays lead guitar, but he's burnt out right now, so I'll
ask him in another 8 months.
Yeah,
there you go. He did just move closer. He's in the 20-minute radius now.
What are your favorite road snacks?
Man, that's a tough question there.
Flaming Hot Cheetos. That one's easy.
All right, it was easy for Dale. Flaming Hot Cheetos, did you
say? Gotta get my throat all on fire so I can stay.
I prefer Snickers bars, actually. I gotta have my chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah, my family was kind of, I don't want to say stingy, but they were kind of stingy growing up. We didn't take snacks too much with us. We would just grab a bag of pretzels. But my wife kind of brought on this new tradition, I guess, if we take a a trip or somewhere and we stop at a gas station, she usually grabs a handful of Slim Jims or some beef jerky.
Sounds perfect. I'm going to let you go. It sure is nice to meet you guys.
You too.
You as well.
Maybe we'll see each other somewhere soon, I hope.
Yep, yeah, sounds good.
All right, good night.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.